just heard a snippet of the latest single, Wanted You To, by country's rising star, singer-songwriter Hailey Benedict. If you haven't heard about Hailey Benedict, you certainly will. Hailey has been making a name for herself since the early age of 12, with nods from the music industry here in Canada. She is that kind of artist that is doing things kind of backwards in this music's journey. Most artists start out doing small venues and playing smaller crowds and working their way up. But not Hailey. Hailey started out her career hitting the big stage at the Rogers Centre with Keith Urban's Ripcord World Tour in 2016, singing her original song when Keith Urban pulled her and her sister on the stage. Here to talk about her latest single, Music Awards and New Music, is the multi-award winning singer-songwriter Hailey Benedict. Hi Hailey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be great.
Your ears must have been burning the last, I don't know, month and a half. And again last year.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've had Dan Davidson on and he's done nothing but talk about his writing sessions with you. And oh boy, he's got such great things to say.
Oh man, I love Dan. He's like he's got a heart of gold, that guy. And yeah, I look up to him a lot. So it's been cool to work with him more the last couple years. So
well, I bet you he's like a big brother to you too.
Yeah, he's like Uncle Dan. it's in his whole family. They're awesome, and yeah, it's great.
It's amazing how the country industry, I don't know what it is, but Canadian country is just such a tight knit community, but man, they so care about each other. It's just incredible.
Yeah, it really is. It's like a big family, which is nice. And it's funny because Dan too, like he only lives like 10 minutes away, so it's
and
there's a few people here that like Dallas Smith's bass player Travis Switzer, he's like 10 minutes away. I feel like everyone's kind of just like, just it's nice just to have that community so close. I feel mm-hmm. like anywhere you kind of go in Alberta, wherever you are, you can probably bet you're gonna know somebody in the industry there. So
well, especially on your songwriting sessions and stuff like that, everybody is just really rooting for each other, and you guys are always mm-hmm. writing all the time.
Yeah.
So which is kind of cool that you get to hang out with everybody, right?
100%. Yes. Yeah.
What a fantastic musical journey for you. Crazy girl. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. We're going to unpack a lot of it, but congratulations on signing with Sakamoto. That is incredible. They are at the top of their game, but man, what a team.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was so exciting because I've known Paul for a few years after meeting them. I think it was like a showcasing thing. So I've always looked up to everything that they're doing, and I just know they have so much care for their artists and their careers. So it's really exciting getting to kind of take that next step with them.
Well, Paul, geez, he's been in the industry. Well, he's a industry veteran for over 25 years. And then you've got Ron Sakamoto for over 50 plus years.
That's
working
amazing.
With some of the best in the business. And man, they are leaders in this industry for such a long time now. Award-winning agency, but just award after award, and so deserving mm-hmm. for everything that they do. It's just incredible. I'm so thrilled for you. So thrilled for you.
Oh, thank you.
You're in some pretty good company over there with some of the artists that have just come on board, for the agency too.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Yeah, Prairie States was just announced. I love those guys, and Raquel Cole and The Heels and Aaron Goodvin. There's so many awesome people part of that roster. So I'm excited to join it.
Mm-hmm.
Be part of the fam. Yeah.
When you turn around and you look at where you started from and where this musical journey, the music bug started for you, and take a look at where you are today, what does that feel like for you?
Yeah, it's interesting because I actually just a few hours ago performed at my old junior high.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it really was like a full circle moment for me because I started when I was nine. I was always singing since I could talk, but writing songs and playing guitar when I was nine. And then junior high, like I was taking all the rock and pop programs and everything and mm-hmm. just... And I still feel like I'm kind of almost like a sponge in the way where I'm always wanting to learn. But there was just so much of the music industry that I just wanted to learn from and, take everything in. So when I went back there to perform today, it was just like, it just felt nice to kind of just see, you know, even how far I've come from the last time I was there. And, you know, obviously there's still so much room for growth, which is exciting about music, because I don't think you can ever reach a limit on the things you can learn or do in the industry. So, but yeah, it's been exciting, and I've loved the journey of it all.
Well, I think too, no matter what, when you're a singer-songwriter, and especially with the influences that you've had in your life and the type of artist that you've chosen to be in the lane that you're in, you are always taking snippets of your life. And that's why it's always evolving and you're always growing. And, you know, different things that are happening in your life are going to become influences to the songs that you write and songs that you choose to record as well, right?
100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I heard that there was a special song in your life that started this whole journey for you. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Oh, yeah. So, like the very first song that I wrote. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was called That's Me, which, like, you know, I mean, I was nine, so I wrote it to the best of my abilities then. But, yeah, I was bullied in elementary and kind of growing up. And so I didn't really know how to process all those emotions at the time. And so that was the very first song I wrote, was standing up to bullies. And so, yeah, definitely, like, it held a very special place in my heart, because that's kind of where it started for me. And obviously, you know, as hard as it was going through that, I'm almost grateful in a way that it happened, because you know, that's kind of what inspired me to write in the first place. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it ended up being, cause the funny story of it was, oh, so that's what all my social medias are at. That's Me, Hailey B, because that was my very first song. And my mom at the time, like, cause I was like nine, and I remember posting it on YouTube. She didn't want my full name. So it was That's Me, Hailey B. And then ever since, it's just stuck. And I still have the same usernames on everything. So
kind of cool when you're looking at that, because there's so many young girls out there, and, you know, it doesn't matter how you look at it, and just, you know, it doesn't matter what age group or what genre that they want to write in. It's just, it's so special to see young girls looking up to you and being able to say you made that change when you decided, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to have a voice, and I'm going to do it in a way that's really vulnerable. And that's a hard thing to do at 9 years old, but you did that.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, it's, well, and even I spoke today about that at the junior high, because they brought up a girl too, that her name was Jamie, and she came on stage and sang, and they got me kind of talk about this kind of similar stuff. But it's, I think especially in school, you know, if you aren't doing anything that's like in the norm, and you kind of put yourself out there for people to say, like, mm-hmm. oh, that's weird, or, you know, don't, you know, I feel like if I wasn't doing, I mean, I can't say for sure, but if I wasn't doing music, I might not have gotten the same kind of, at the time, like, mm-hmm. comments from people, because it just wasn't very, you know, it's a very sports kind of based school. So, but just to kind of keep persevering. And that's the thing that I said to the students today, is just to keep, you know, if you have a dream and you're passionate about it, to just keep going for it. And, you know, there's always going to be people that might have something to say, but usually it's because it's coming out of, you know, something in their life that mm-hmm. might be affecting them. So,
and you go through that right through, you know, into adult life and into marriage, and, you know, into relationships, you know, with your siblings, to, you know, your friends, and mm-hmm. who you surround yourself with. Because when we look at what makes us feel whole and accepted, should be coming from within. And if you learn that at a really young age, it makes all the difference in the world in how you look at life, you know, going into any relationship. And whether, you know, it could be somebody that you love, or it just could be in friendships, people that are so close to you, and just working relationships as well. People don't make us who we are. Mm-hmm. And it's such an important lesson to learn. And I used to teach right across Canada, the Never Be a Victim program.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. So I really have a special place in my heart for you writing that song. And being able to see somebody at that age turn around and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to do something about the situation. You weren't relying on anybody else. You did it for you. And that's what makes it so special at that age is incredible. And you must have some really great influences in your life to be able to see that so early.
Yeah, I'm really lucky that like I have a really supportive family and friends and it's just I don't think I'd be able to do what I do without them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to have those people that you can always reach out to. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes especially something like music, it's a very individual kind of thing, because if you're on a sports team, you've got the team. But I think pursuing music can sometimes be a little bit isolating just because there's no team, and so if you screw up, like it's on you. So to have that balance of having people outside that are always going to support you no matter what is so important.
It's nice having Dan, and because he's been through the music industry on different genres and had great success in both, but it's so nice to be able to have people like that, artists that are there supporting and helping and mentoring, because they know the ropes. They know exactly how they felt at your age. They know exactly what their dreams were, what they thought success was in this business, and being able to turn around and say, okay, you know what, I can help you with this part of it and navigate those feelings, because those are going to be changing all the time, especially with social media. It's so different today in comparison to when it first started out. And you're going to hear so much. You're going to have your haters out there. You're going to have your followers out there, and you got to have a tough skin. And especially when you're pitching songs, and there's so much that you're handling yourself and been handling yourself until you sign on with an agency and have a team behind you. You had to wear all those hats and believe in yourself and delivering all of that every single day that you're performing. And you know, when the agency is seeing someone like yourself coming up the ranks and seeing the confidence that you have in yourself, that's pretty special. You should be so proud of everything you've accomplished.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, I couldn't do it without people like the support from people like Dan or, my family. Having that, kind of mentorship is like huge. And a lot of, because it can be a difficult industry to navigate, and to have those people to help you. And because a lot of times even it's just like questions that, maybe sound silly, but you just want to ask because, it's better to ask and know than not. And so, it's great to have that support and even the support from Sakamoto and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge help for sure.
I am so excited for the journey that you're on and just, what this last couple years has really brought forward for you with all the hard work and, with the world being shut down and building that momentum. Like you won your first award at 12 years old. Holy cow.
Yeah. I know it's crazy. Just, the whole journey. And I'm glad that things are, last couple years are now coming back. Cause for a while it was so weird music's been my life. So I really didn't know who I was without it for a little while. It was a weird time to navigate. So I'm so grateful that things are coming back and we're having shows again.
I'm sure you're hearing that from so many other artists that are veterans that have said the same thing every single day that I'm interviewing. I hear it all the time, because when you're looking at who you are, being able to ground yourself and remember what you're doing all this for, especially as a songwriter, that's the whole point that you started all this for. Who was your influence? It was Taylor Swift, right?
Yes. Yeah. Taylor Swift was like one of the biggest influences for me. Just because, I don't know, I connected with her just at a young age because she was so real and was able to create these songs that I related to. And I feel like every time she had an album, I'd be like, oh, I'm going through this too, and I'm not alone. And so that really inspired me, because I was like, I want my music to do the same, if there's a young girl listening and or whoever, and just to make them feel a little less alone or more celebrated. Taylor Swift was a big one for me. Keith Urban is another, especially musically. Tenille Townes, I love Tenille Townes. She's awesome.
Oh, she's killing it out there.
Goodness, it's so cool. And actually, that award that I won when I was 12, it was for the Country Music Alberta Awards, and I didn't know anyone. It was my very first year, and Tennille had the song. She had a song called Dear Heart that was like all over all like the Disney channels. And so my sister and I were just, we just loved her and her music and everything. And so I was fangirling that she was just there. And then after I won the award, she like came up and talked to me. And then she introduced me to everyone in the room because I said, you know, I don't really know anyone. And so she brought me to like all the different people. And I just like never forgot that. And she's just, I don't know, I just not only just huge respect for her as like a musician and songwriter, but also just as a person. Like you just tell she's just got a heart of gold and just wants to share that with the world. So yeah,
we've got
some, inspired by her.
We have some pretty incredible Canadian female artists that are just killing it on both sides of the border across the pond. Boy, and Tennille is one of those, and same thing with Megan Patrick and you know, Jessica Mitchell, and there's like Patricia Conroy. Oh, I'm telling you, they're just Michelle Wright. There's so many that are just absolutely killing it and have been veterans in this, you know, for a long time. And it's just so nice to be able to see everybody get together and really work together. And as I said, that mentoring ship and a lot of the artists are being able to, like, I'm sure, you know, look at Dan in Australia, you know, writing and he's performing in the UK. He's all over the place.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I know. What's awesome when artists kind of like, the Prairie States actually said this a couple years ago, and I've never forgotten it. Where it's like the rising tides raise all boats mentality. And it's cool. Like, I just, all these women, especially in the country music industry, really just want to see each other succeed. And that's really special because even in country music, you know, it's, women don't get as much play on the radio or that's stuff true. Like that. And so to have, you know, instead of it being a thing where it's a competition, to have everyone be like rise together. And I think that's the way that it should be, you know, is to lift everyone up, because it only makes, you know, the next person want to work as hard. And so, yeah.
I think that's a healthy way to say that too, because it's, everybody's in competition to fight for the slots. You know, a lot of people don't realize, they keep thinking that, you know, if you got a great song, why isn't it being played? There's only so many slots that they can put new singles. And people don't realize that. Fans don't realize that out there. So you guys are really having to fight for those spots. And you can have an amazing song and it just not get chosen.
Yeah. And
yeah.
But the interesting thing that too, I've like, that I've kind of realized is like, maybe it's not a thing for radio specifically, but there's like so many different platforms now for your music to get discovered, which is really cool. So if it doesn't on radio, then maybe it becomes a really big hit on Spotify or TikTok or wherever, right? Where you have something or you do a live performance of it, and that's ends up being like the, you know, the thing that sets you apart for your live show. So I think it's cool because there's so many places a song can live now, which is also cool, and I think like is encouraging more people to just, you know, spread their music, which is awesome.
And plus, everybody is sharing it on their playlists, which so many people may never have heard, you know, some of those songs without being able to listen to some of these playlists. And so that's why I keep reminding everybody to add it to their, to theirs, because you know what, you just never know who's going to be listening across the world. And man, it could just make all the difference in the world to an artist, especially independent artists who work so hard. You know, you there's so much expense to that, and your branding, as well as just being able to be able to go on a radio tour, let alone to get into a studio to record something. It's really, really expensive. And everybody still thinks that labels do all that. They don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
They just don't do that.
And it's funny because it can make like one share even from a video can turn into like, that's crazy to me, is a lot of these times, like, you know, if a song does well, all it takes is like one person just like, hey, to, you know, their friend, like, have you heard this song out? Or like they share it on their social medias and then it's just like this like snowball effect, which is really cool that like the, you know, the power is definitely like in the listeners and in the fans. And I think it's, which is even more encouraging for independent artists, like you're saying, because it just, it opens up more doors.
So many doors.
Yeah, for sure.
Fans can make all the difference. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, more with my very special guest, multi-award-winning singer-songwriter Haley Benedict, here on Music's Journey. We are back. I'm your host, Kim Sear, and I am chatting with country's rising star, Hailey Benedict. Yep, fans definitely have that power. Well, let's talk about one moment for you that just blew open the doors for you, and that was the Rogers Center. And man, my favorite country artist of all time, other than Chris Stapleton, is Keith Urban.
Yes.
And yeah. he's been so dear to my heart for so many different reasons, and he sent me a very special message one day, and that, you know, just touched my soul. And he's just that kind of artist that just really cares about his fans. And yeah, what a moment for you and your sister. Tell us about how that all happened.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, we had just made like these guitar shape signs, and a few days before the concert, and we're like, oh, maybe he'll point them out, or like we weren't honestly like expecting any of what happened that night. And it was like, people were like always ask me like, is it staged? I'm like, no, my dad gave up his ticket that night, so like he wasn't even there. And so when he had, you know, pointed them out in the audience, we're just like, yes, like Keith Urban saw our son. This is like gonna be the highlight of my night. And like, little did we know. And then he looked at them a little longer, and then he's like, bring them up here. And so Anna and I just like, you know, yeah, we just freaked out. And so, and then the next highlight was that we were seeing Keith Urban, and then, you know, it just was like getting better and better. And so, yeah, then he asked us, you know, what do you want to be when you're older? And my sister at the time was in competitive gymnastics, so she was like,
I remember that so well.
Yes, yeah, that was like totally her thing. Like, she's like sports, and I'm the arts. So
you guys had no fear on that stage up there.
I think it was just because it was such an out-of-body experience. Like, I don't think I was quite processing what was happening until, like, even now I watch the video and I'm like, that's me. Like, I feel like, because it was just such like, what is even happening right now? And I think I was so overwhelmed that I was just like, I didn't really know what to think. Yeah.
You're 14 years old and you're up there. But you know what? It cracked me up when I was watching it again and I'm looking at it, because the look on your face when you started playing, but it was just at first when he was, you know, let me just adjust your guitar, and then you were asking him to do some other things, and it was so funny.
Oh my goodness. And it's funny because I was like, no, he's gonna think I'm a diva now. But I didn't want to touch the guitar. Like, I was like, this is Keith Urban's guitar. I've seen him play this at like the Grammys and, you know, all these big award shows, and he had the capo, and I was like, I need it to be moved to the second one, please. And I didn't want to mess anything up. Oh, so man. Yeah, it was so surreal. And then I ended up playing this my original song that night, and it was just it was definitely the highlight. And for my sister too, like, it's so cool too. If you watch her in the video, it's quite funny.
It really was.
Yeah, she's so nervous, and she's like mouthing the words in the background.
The
she's
moral
like, don't
support.
Screw this up.
The moral support, but the look on your face when you started to sing, and to see the fans responding, it was like, it was such a shock to you. And it was just like, to hear everybody cheer, and then the surprise on your face again, it was just so special. And what a memory. Yeah. What a memory for you.
Yeah, it really is. And I always had wondered, you know, what does it look like from the artist perspective, looking out into a crowd that big. Mm-hmm. So to be in that position and to see that many people and like screaming that loud, like it was just like, yeah, it was all so surreal.
Amazing, amazing moment. And that's what started a big part of this, you know, journey for you. When you talk about the song that you originally wrote when you were 9, and then you're coming up to the single Level Up, tell us about what that song meant to you.
Yeah, so Level Up was it was really special because there's a charity here in Edmonton, and they do stuff across Alberta as well, but it's called the CASA Foundation. And so they provide resources for children, adolescent, and family mental health, which I think is, you know, very important. And especially the last couple years, it's been the most that they've ever needed funding because of just how many families.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've gotten to know them over the years. Like, I think I met Nadine from CASA there when I was, I want to say, like 13 or 14. And I've gone through my own mental health struggles. And so it's always been something that's been near to my heart. Mm-hmm. So I ended up doing a, I was originally, before kind of COVID, I was going to do an event and like have a whole bunch of youth and, you know, from all different like speakers and poets and musicians and all be part of it to kind of raise money for mental health. Mm-hmm. But then COVID happened. And so it ended up changing, but it ended up kind of working out. I wrote a song that's now CASA's theme song for their organization, because they've been having this program called the Level Up Program to, you know, double the numbers of families that they serve mm-hmm. in the next couple of years. So I wrote a song and I wanted to make it, you know, that they could use it, but also, you know, someone lists like a kid listening to it wants to level up for themselves and you know, maybe that's seeking help or just trying to take care of themselves in the best way they can for mental health, or and then also like you know, possible donors or stuff like that listen to it and level up for our community and for our kids. And so yeah, I released a song in February and we raised I think over $7,000 just doing Amazing. An online campaign. Yeah, and it was really powerful, just not only for me but just to hear from CASA's side how much that meant to them. And mm-hmm. they've been using the song you know, on all their promotional materials, and it's so it's just, yeah, it's a really cool part to, you know, way to use music in that way, because I feel like music's such a powerful tool to kind of connect with people. So
being able to use yeah. your platform for yeah. something like this is so important, because like we said, there's listeners around the world that are able to hear playlists and be able to listen to anything that you've put out, all the streaming platforms, and to be able to understand what this song could mean. You know, it doesn't matter what age group, anything, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to life, it could be an adult that's listening to this, you know, that's yeah. just lost their job during all of this or can't feed their families. And there's just so many things that mental illness can be attached to, whether or not it's something that you've, you know, that you've grown up with, or whether or not it's situational, which it can be, you know, when it comes to mm-hmm. added stress that we go through. That's why I wanted to bring highlight to this song too, because it's so important that we use this platform to be able to help out others. So we're going to play this one right now. Here is Level Up by country sensation Haley Benedict here on Music's Journey. That was the incredible single Level Up by country artist Hayley Benedict, raising awareness to mental illness, which we have heard it in the headlines nonstop. And it's so important that we are partnering and listening and being able to work together with one another. And she partnered up with CASA for the Child and Adolescent and Family Mental Health. Such an important song and a message that can change lives out there. Don't forget, you can download Level Up on all your streaming platforms and you can add it to your playlist. Share it. Don't forget to share it. And you can also request it at your local country radio station as well. So just make sure that you're adding it to the playlist in support out there. You don't know who might be standing beside you right now, somebody that you've known for a very long time and never know that they're suffering with mental illness. So there is hope out there, and if we extend our compassion and our love for one another, it's amazing what we can do. What has it been like making the video for this song?
Yeah, the video was really special because we actually got to film it in CASA's facility. And so they have a whole like gym for all the kids. And so one of our main shots is in the gym with the CASA logo and kind of showcasing all the different parts of CASA. Mm-hmm. And then we are also able to get footage that they've collected over the years of their CASA families and CASA children. So that was, you know, just made it even more special to see, you know, all these kids accessing these services and coming out on the other side as well. And yeah, it was really impactful. And Cody McIver, both Dan Davidson produced that, gave his time, donated his time to produce it. And Cody McIver also donated his time to produce and edit that video. So it was really special. And it was a great way to have a medium, you know, alongside the music. Because I feel like sometimes, you know, we can talk about things, but for whatever reason, if it's in a video form or if it's in some type of musical form, it resonates with people a little bit more because it's something you can see, you know, or something you can hear, or it's, if you're talking about it, sometimes it's hard for people to quite understand what someone might be going through or how exactly it affects. But
feel it and you can deliver it like that. And so many people only can relate to visual. And, you know, being able to understand that, like you can say something, it's like being in school, you know, you can hear a teacher speaking and not one word will sink into your head. And a lot of students are like that, and they respond through video. And, you know, there's just different ways of learning techniques for so many people. But just being able to understand how somebody can function and what their best learning capability is. And that's why those videos are so important. What a great job. Great job on this song. You know,
thank you so much. And thank you for asking about it as well. And, you know, the more people that can, it reaches as well, it can, you know, there might be someone listening right now that's, you know, going through something similar. So, I appreciate you bringing it up and talking about it. Because,
this platform, we have so many listeners around the world. And so it's really, really nice to be able to put this song out there again, and we'll continue to do that. And people can download, you know, the podcast, but we're also going to be putting that in the article too. So really important that we use this platform just like you have. And thank you for writing such a beautiful song, and thank you for caring and making sure that, you know, you're giving back. And man, you're doing such an amazing job. And Dan Davidson, he knows how much I love him. He is just one of my favorite Canadian country artists and everything that he chooses to do too. So incredible to all of you. And thank you guys so much for putting this song out there and delivering it at a very important time for so many people.
Thank you, Cam. I appreciate that a lot.
Let's talk about your latest single, Girl.
Yes.
Amazing things climbing the charts, man. This one just keeps on climbing and winning awards for you. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It kind of just took a life of its own. I never would have expected it. I always loved the song, and it resonated with me a lot. And it was probably one of the most songs I was excited to, one of the most excited I've been to share a song. And so, yeah, it just kind of, I feel really grateful for everything that's happened with it. And like, it's just kind of had this crazy ride. And so,
has it ever? Cool. It's amazing when a song can click like that. And you always feel something, because I think for you, especially as a songwriter, Just being able to connect to the lyrics is so important when it comes to anything that you're releasing or whether or not you write it or not, because a lot of songs get pitched too. And, a lot of people think that, everybody that is a songwriter writes every single thing. They don't. And it's just nice to be able to have a song that you connect with. Tell us about the writing of Wanted You To.
Yeah, so this is actually a song that I didn't write, and so I've never, had an outside song before. And I've always, written my own stuff. And so Dan actually just, he sent me some and was like, take a listen to some of this stuff. And the writers are Emily, Madeline Merlot, and Eric Arges, who I look up to very much and think they're
Incredible
awesome.
writers,
Yeah, they
incredible.
really are. And so and then as soon as I heard, I was singing some songs, they were really good, but I was like, I want something to feel like something I would say, or something that just feels like me. And as soon as I heard it, like, I couldn't get it out of my head, and I just knew I would be kicking myself if I didn't put it out, because I'm like, oh man, if someone else is releasing this, like, I'm gonna be, I think, a little bit upset just because of just how much I loved it. And so it just felt very authentic, to me. And it was cool because I actually got to write with both Emily and Eric down in Nashville about a month ago, and they were saying like they wrote that beginning of the pandemic, and like Eric's like, that could have just been sitting on a hard drive somewhere, like,
Oh, wow.
had it not been, put out into the world. So what was cool about that too is just saw a song that, people may have never heard is now out into the universe, and I get to be lucky enough to put my voice on it. And so yeah, it was really cool getting to, and then getting to have that relationship with the writers now too. They're, such fantastic people. So yeah, it was pretty cool to kind of, I feel grateful that that gig came and through Dan and all that. So
Well, I'm telling you, your voice is something special. We are going to play this one right now. The hit single that everybody's been talking about. Here is Wanted You To by Canadian country artist Haley Benedict here on Music's Journey.
My baby don't stare at a screen. When we're out, he's looking at me. My baby don't go picking fights. He'd rather stay up and make up all night. Like a pro, yeah, he knows all the ropes of my love language. And he's taking it slow, but he ain't taking me for granted. Your kiss was as good as it gets. Can't believe a man that I would have missed if I settled for anything less. No.
That's the smash hit Wanted You To by multi-award-winning country artist Haley Benedict. Don't forget you can download Wanted You To. You can do it on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and share it, and you can request it at your local country radio station. This song has been blowing up ever since it was released, and so many fans to be in love with it and receive it the way that they have.
No, I mean, I knew there was something special with the song when I first heard it, but I to the scale that it went to, like, I really didn't. And it's funny because Tara Lee Fuman, who's my radio tracker, a radio promoter, she, like, I was applying for a grant last summer, mm-hmm. and the highest, my last song before that, I think, was like 95 on the Tracks Report, which was like still a really big deal for me, and I was excited. And so I was like, okay, you know, for this grant, you think, like, is 80, is number 80 like reasonable? Can we do that? She's like, yeah, I think so. So I was like, my goals will far be surpassed if it hits 80. And then it went to number 25
in
Canada on the media based charts. And so that was just like, yeah, I was completely blown away. And like, just the amount of people too, it was just so cool. Just like that it was all over Canada, and just people from Ontario writing me, or people that even saw it on, like, you know, the video channel, and you know, it was so cool to hear the reach of people hearing it across Canada. And it's not something I can totally wrap my mind around.
It's
across
the pond. It's like,
yeah, I know,
it's doing crazy so well on the charts. It's just crazy how much the song has taken on. You did your very first debut music video for this one too.
I did. Kinda, yes, cool. That was super exciting too. I'd never done a music video, so it was a debut music video. That was lots of fun too. I filmed it with Brighton Yudi, who used to be part of Leaving Thomas, and Oliver Banyard, and they were so awesome and kind of brought all these scenes to life. And then I like worked with like a hair makeup team and stylist for the first time.
It must have been Kelly so Joe cool.
And Crystal. Yeah, it was really neat. And it was just cool to just see, like, you know, everyone in their elements doing their own thing to kind of bring everything together. So yeah, it was a great experience. It was lots of fun. And it was even more fun to share it.
I cannot wait to sit here and watch you on your journey and have you on. And we're going to be talking about the different stages that you're going to be going through, because, girl, you've got an amazing, amazing career ahead of you.
Oh, thank you, Kim.
It's something that you can feel in your bones. It's just certain things that come across in an artist. And I just knew the first time I heard you. And when Dan told me to take a listen, it was like, boy, she's got something special.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you.
You know, you got some new merch. We can't forget to tell the fans about that too.
Yes, so I actually only have I think there's 75% sold, so I think there's only a few left, but it's really cool. So there's a company here in actually Alberta based, and they're called Free Picks, and so they make like handcrafted guitar picks out of wood.
So cool.
They're really cool. And so then they engrave my logo into them, and they also plant a tree for every pick sold, which I think is, you know, super special and awesome. And so they've been someone that I've kind of partnered with the last few years. And so they wrote me and were like, we should do, like, you know, to celebrate everything and do like a limited edition run of these special tree picks. So we did a thing, because it's my 20th birthday this year, so we made a limited edition collection of only 20 of them that are like these tins with my logo on it, and then the tins are some guitar picks and they're signed, and it says whatever, which one out of 20 that you got. So they're just super cool to use, and they just got a, you know, neat sound. And what I also love, it's just kind of like a fun little fact,
the whole story. Whole story and everything that they're doing with it and giving back to the planet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So I'll send you up some for sure.
That would be awesome. I would love that. Now, what shows do you got coming up? Because I'm sure you've got some that are right around the corner.
Playing Pinocchio Stampede, on the 30th, and then July 1st, Canada Day in Fort Saskatchewan, and then we go back down to Nashville again in July.
So, oh, wow, you are one busy girl. Is this the first time playing at the Stampede?
At the Pinoca Stampede, yeah, it will be. I'm so excited. It's I've heard so much awesome things about it, and I just know everyone's so excited to just be back at these events, so it makes it even more exciting that, you know, fans and people attending are just more excited just to have fun and listen to some music and everything. So
very cool. Are you heading to Nashville, is that to work on new music, or have you already got some slated to release later this year?
Yeah, so I was actually down Nashville about a month ago, and I just wrote, I had like one or two co-writes every day, and then we'll go watch a show, and so we had some really exciting stuff that kind of came out of that, and some people that I got to work with are pretty awesome, so I'm going back down again to write with those people and also some new people. And you know, it's just such a cool city. There's always, it's just crazy to me how things just kind of happen there. Like, it really is kind of magical. It's you know, like, I think maybe because here things are a bit more spread out, but you go down there and there's always something, or you're running into someone who knows someone else. It's just it's well, so
the writing is so different there too, because it's like you're on steroids there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It is. It's like my mom, my poor mom, was like texting me and was like, "Are you okay? Like, have you slept?" And I'm like, 'cause I'd be like going into a write and going into another write, and then I'd be going seeing a show, and I literally didn't really talk to them till I got back home.
Just remember one thing. Just remember one thing, is just to take in, even if it's for a moment, just take it in so that you have those little snippets of time in your memory, because it can be a blur. And
yeah,
you want to make sure that you're remembering those special moments.
It is, yeah. And it's just like, it's funny too. When I went down there, I had a friend that was like, "Do you still got ideas, Haley?" Like, and I'm like, yeah. It's like, but while I was down there, I felt like I had even though I was writing so much, I felt like I had even more ideas, or I was more inspired.
That's cool. That's the way it should be. Yeah, you're more inspired for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that was great.
Very, very nice. Do you have time for a couple burning questions, and then we'll let you go, because I know you got to get going? All right.
For sure.
All right, first question. What would be the first question that you would ask Taylor Swift if you had the chance to sit down with her?
Oh, my goodness. Ah, that's so hard. I guess what her biggest piece of advice would be for someone at my age coming through the industry would be, and like what she might say to herself at this age. I would love to just talk to her about, I feel like there's just, she came through at such a young age, and then she's also just feel like she's experienced so much. And so I've always just wanted to have like a conversation with her about all of that, because I just feel like she would have so much knowledge.
Boy, would she ever. She would have so much to offer you, especially the way that you've come up in this business and the same as she did. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
When you look back at your favorite song that moved you completely as a songwriter, all the feels, all of that, which one would it be and why?
Ooh, that's so hard. I have two, I guess. For like something that moved me, probably just for a song that I just feel like is like timeless, and just like Wasted Time by Keith Urban is like one of my favorite, like
mine
it's
too.
So simple, but like just, I don't know, that message just resonates with everybody, and just like the melody, it's like super fun, and it's just like something that I just feel like I could listen to it a million times and not get sick of it. And then more on the songwriting side, and go back to my Taylor Swift fangirl moment here, but All Too Well, the specifically the 10-minute version, I think is really cool. And I just love that, you know, she put that out, and Liz Rose, I think, also was a writer on that. And so it's just really cool just to have, like, it's a 10-minute song, but it doesn't feel like it's 10 minutes. And just the way that it's written is so personal and vulnerable, and I think it's really special.
Well, that's the songwriter side of you for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Favorite thing to do to unwind when you aren't writing and performing?
I love to read.
Is there a book you're reading right now?
Yeah, I actually just finished just last night, called Run, Rose, Run. And Dolly Parton is a writer on it.
Yes. Really good book.
Yeah, it was really great. And it's fun too, because it's like, it's about a girl going to Nashville and trying to chase a dream. So it was fun. And then I think Dolly has like, I haven't listened to it yet, because I want to finish the book first, but she has a full album of the song that the character sings in the book. So,
very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, reading, binging Netflix, Stranger Things. I've just finished the new season.
I'm not there yet. I'm only on episode 2 for this.
Oh my gosh.
For this last season. Yeah,
it's so good. It's so good. It's one of the best, I think. And ooh, yeah, those are probably a couple of things that I just, you know,
you and I will have to send a couple texts back and forth once I get in there a little bit more to it. So
yes. Yeah. Oh, you have to let me know what you think of, I think it's episode 4, and then the very last one. It's really cool.
All
yeah.
Right. Sounds good. Okay. Favorite childhood memory growing up with your sister?
Oh, that's so hard. I want to say, I don't know. I feel like there's like so many. I feel like it's almost just the stuff that was like just us kind of goofing around. Like, it wasn't like a specific moment. I really love, we used to have like these water gun fights.
Oh, cool.
So that was always fun. Or like, yeah, we would, I don't know, any kind of moment I'm really fortunate that both of us are super close. Mm-hmm. So we just, it could be the simplest of moments, and I don't know, just with her being there makes everything more fun. So
very cool. Okay, so if you could travel anywhere in the world and experience the culture and learn about the history of the people, where would it be and why?
Japan. I think would be, especially culture and everything, would be really cool. And they also like just have such a high respect for anyone kind of in the arts and stuff as well, which I think is really unique. And like there's really cool, like in the land of like in the land in Japan can be from like big countryside, beautiful, you know, fields to big cities. And I just feel like there's so much, and the food there, I'm sure, would just be amazing. So I would love to go down there one day. I think it'd be so cool.
Very nice. Okay. Last question. Okay. If you have one best useless talent, what is it? warned you. Everybody's probably warned you that I say this question.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I have a backwards arm.
Oh, that, do you like, really?
I fell off a slide when I was like 4, and the arm just like, it never healed properly. So like it's really weird. And I remember somebody asked me this in like, I was like 14. I think it was one of my very first interviews, and it was like on camera. And they're like, well, what's like a unusual talent? And like, other people are like, you know, like can do like these crazy riffs or something. And they were asking each of these artists, and I was like, but I have a backwards arm. And then it was like all, and they were like, the people interviewing me, like, I know that they're great people, but they were like horrified, because it just,
because like, seeing it is two different things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then my mom was like, I don't think that's what they meant by the question.
Oh, yes,
she
it is.
Bugging me after. Yes, it is. Yeah, so that's on the internet somewhere. You know, forever.
It's just going, I can't take it down. I can't do anything about it. It's out.
Yes,
there.
I might as well just own it. So I'd say it's the most useless thing. It's really just a party trick.
Oh, okay. What is Dan's most useless talent?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, come
I don't
on.
Know.
We got to have a good one for this.
I wouldn't say that he would have like. Oh,
he's got to do a quirky thing. He's.
I wouldn't even say it's useless, but he just like in the studio, like he just. It's crazy just the stuff that he just like hears and it's like,
does.
Oh, do this. And it's like, oh my gosh, you're completely right. And I just feel like it's just like, you kind of have to be born with like that intuition. And he's just got really great like intuition and gut instincts, which I think is very useful. So I don't know about any like useless talents. He also just plays like a ton of different instruments, which is really cool. And like,
yeah,
I don't know, I look at everything that he does, so I'm like, I can't even think of something.
So you're gonna have to think about it and send me something.
I will,
because
yeah,
he
I
will get such a kick out of that, and so will all of us, you know. We just,
yes,
we need to call Dan out on something. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right, well, congratulations. Are you going to be at the CCMAs in September?
I will, yes. I'm excited to see everybody again. Are you going?
I'm hoping. I'm hoping.
Oh, awesome. Hopefully.
I hope so. I really hope so. So
I would love to meet in person and everything. It'd absolutely. Be awesome.
We can hug now. Everybody can yes. hug, which is awesome.
I know. It's so amazing. Nice.
Yeah. Well, I like to be able to see Bill and everybody out there and, you know, Dan mm-hmm. and everybody. So it's just been such a long time, but I look forward to it. And I'll bring all my camera gear because I'm used to shooting all the time too. So that's.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. For the awards.
That's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So,
congratulations on this, and I look forward to seeing you in person. I can't wait to see you play live. So really, really looking forward to that.
Thank you, Kim, and thank you so much for having me on the show. And it was such a pleasure getting to chat with you and get to know you a bit more. And thanks for all the awesome questions. They were great questions. And
when you finish and you're ready to release your next one, make sure you promise to come back on the show, okay?
I will. I would love that. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Okay, you take care and have fun this summer and have fun this weekend in your live performance. And you know,
thank
you from the bottom of my heart, you know, for all that you're doing when it comes to the mental illness for so many people out there. I just like to be able to use this platform for some amazing positive things that we can give back to. And that's just one of them.
Yeah, 100%. Well, thank you for giving the platform to speak about it on. And this is such a great time. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the next time we can do it again.
Absolutely. You take care and have an amazing evening, okay?
Thank you. You too, Kim.
Okay, take care.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country sensation Haley Benedict, for coming on the show. She is definitely one to watch. I've got some great shows that are coming up for June. I am going to be interviewing Katie Hurt from the UK, Katie Topham, Rob Fitzgerald, the East Pointers, rock band Taming Sari, Matt Rogers, Josh Bogart, Petrick, Australian country artist Haley Jensen's going to be here. We've got Cadence from Runaway Angel, The Prairie State, Emerson Drive, Allie Walker, Emma Peterson, Simone Fuller, and so many more. Don't forget, you can catch all my shows that you do not want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You also can check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
My baby don't stare at a screen. When we're out, he's looking at me. My baby don't go picking fights. He'd rather stay up and make up all night. Like a pro, yeah, he knows all the ropes of my love language. And he's taking it slow, but he ain't taking me for granted. No. That your kiss was as good as it gets. Can't believe a man that I would've missed if I settled for anything less. No.